Wem Friede mit Gott meine Seele durchdringt, ob Stürme auch drohen von fern, mein Herz im Glauben doch alle Zeit sind, mir ist wohl, mir ist wohl in dem Herrn, mir ist wohl in dem Herrn, mir ist wohl. Satan mir nachstellt und Bange mir macht, so leuchtet dies Wort mir als Stern. Mein Jesus hat alles für mich schon vollbracht. Ich bin rein durch das Blut meines Herrn. Mir ist wohl in dem Herrn. Mir ist wohl in dem Herrn. Die Last meiner Sünde trug Jesus das Lamm und warf sie weit weg in die Ferne. Er starb ja für mich auf am blutigen Stamm, meine Seele preiset den Herrn. Mir ist wohl in dem Herrn. Mir ist wohl in dem Herrn. Nun leb ich im Christ, so für bist du allein. Sein Wort ist mein leitender Stern. In ihm hab ich Frieden und Erlösung von Pein. Meine Seele ist selig im Herrn. Mir ist wohl in dem Herrn. Mir ist wohl in dem Herrn.
Nicht wunderbar ist er nicht. Wunderbar ist er nicht, wunderbar, wunderbar. Mein Gott besiegt, doch gehört, weil durch seinen Geist verklärt, ist er nicht wunderbar, wunderbar. Ja, er ist wunderbar, ja, er ist wunderbar, ja, er ist wunderbar, wunderbar. Nicht gesehen, nicht gehört, doch in seinem Wort verklärt, ja, er ist wunderbar, wunderbar. Und er bleibt wunderbar, und er bleibt wunderbar, und er bleibt wunderbar, wunderbar. Er ist ehrbar, der er sein wird immer da, ja, er bleibt wunderbar, Amen. Ich glaube, dass wir alle
I believe that we all are already feeling the presence of God, knowing that He is calling us together to speak with us, and that these are preparation hours and days which God gives us and to all His people all over the earth. Today, early in the morning, there were phone calls from Nairobi, from Kinshasa, from South Africa, from here and there. All are connected, all are joined with us, and are hearing the word of the Lord with joy, and they are grateful to God for it. Also, we are greeting all of them, wherever they might be now, and wherever they are listening. We know it's really days which God gives us by His grace, and blessed is He who does not take offense if something is being preached which probably was not yet known. You all know our Lord followed great multitudes, and when He then said something which they didn't understand, then many, many left Him and followed Him no more. Please, walk the way of the Lord until the end, until we together come from believing unto seeing. Some things are hard to be understood. This already Paul has written, and then Peter referred to it in the last epistle, in the last chapter, and he wrote, as in the Holy Scripture, so also in the expositions of Paul, there are things which are hard to be understood. But then comes the verse. Then comes the verse. But to you it is revealed by the Holy Spirit. All the mysteries of God are, of course, at first hidden. And even God remains hidden in Christ until He reveals Himself to us. Everything is revelation. And we have read it here in the 2 Corinthians. We were reading it. First, the veil is upon all. It is upon all, without exception. And then, of course, came the statement which we read, and it is only taken away in Christ. Only in Christ the veil is taken away. Very important. And then, if we go to Revelation, to the first chapter, there it says, Revelation of Jesus Christ, unveiling of Jesus Christ. And we are truly living in that age where not knowledge, but where revelation is passed on to the people of God by His grace. So many precious scriptures on which we were thinking already when we were singing these wonderful songs. Two scriptures came to my mind, which I just want to mention. The one from Romans, chapter 8, Romans, chapter 8, verse 33, Romans 8, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth them. Only Satan himself and those who are under his rule they will bring a charge against the chosen ones. The elect will never persecute the other elect, will never accuse them, because they are born of one single word and spirit. They are joined with God and to one another. Who will bring a charge against? Only the accuser of the brethren, of whom it is written in Revelation 12 that he will be cast down. Now he has still access, and now he is still using his vessels on the earth to accuse the elect, not the rest. Satan will never accuse a charismatic or some personality or someone. He doesn't even think about it, but it's always about the chosen ones. Here it doesn't say who shall bring a charge against the called ones. It's not written this way. Who shall bring a charge against the elect? Election is a divine predestination which is unchangeable, which is valid forever, an absolute of God for all who received the salvation in Christ. Because that's how it is written. Those whom he justified, let us read the verses in Romans chapter 8. Here it says, from verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is the divine ordinance of all sons and daughters of God, who before the foundation of the world were foreordained to experience the salvation and the sonship and the adoption as sons and daughters of God. Brothers and sisters, this is divine reality with us who we can believe as the scripture says. Also, this is a gift. Faith is a direct gift of God. And we know faith is always connected with the promise. This we mentioned already many times. When the Lord God spoke to Abraham and when he gave him the promise, in that moment it could be said, Abraham believed God and this was accounted unto him for righteousness. In that moment where God speaks to us through his word and where he shows us his promises and where he lays them into our hearts, and if we believe in them, then it has happened. Then it has taken place. Then God has taken over the holy duty to watch over his word and to also watch over us who we received his word to fulfill everything what he promised. The second word which came to me while singing the songs is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and especially verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Let us take all the words of the Scripture to heart. That we are found in the Word, and that the Word is found in us. That we become a part of this divine seed. From the sermon of Brother Branham, the spoken word, I just underlined some statements. Here he says, if now the Word seed was also predestinated as he was predestinated, what makes the word seed the same water on what? This church today is a bride predestinated. Did God say he would have a bride without spot or wrinkle? Then it's predestinated, isn't it? See? Well, Christ was predestinated. He was the royal seed of Abraham. And what did it do when the Spirit came on Christ, he bore record of the Word of God. And when the water, the Spirit, falls on the word seed, the royal seed of Abraham's faith in God's Word will produce the same kind of crop. It is a transition, divine seed. Here, Brother Branham says, the believers of the Word and of the Spirit must be one. Yesterday, we were reading it from Acts 4. The believers were one heart and one soul. Didn't we emphasize it here? We are all coming with various teachings, also with convictions, but under the sound of the Word, we lay off all own things. Everything what we brought here, we lay it off. And we let ourselves be taught by God, and letting ourselves be led by the Spirit into all truth, to by this come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge. Then Brother Branham says, do you understand this? The believers who receive the Word and Spirit are absolutely one. You don't do your own thinking. You don't use your own mind. Isn't that wonderful? The mind that's in Christ is in you. The mind in Christ in you will take the Word just like he did, because he was the Word. If the mind of Christ is in you, you are the Word. You are God's living Word, representatives of Him here on earth, continuing the work. The church should be that way. This we also said many times here. The continuation of the plan of salvation of our God happened through the church, which was founded at the beginning on the day of Pentecost as the manifestation place of God, where the will of God, where the word of God, where the divine teaching, where everything finds its place, where God here on earth has a place. In Corinthians, Paul calls the church the body of the Lord. And the body of the Lord are we, if we found grace in the sight of God, and if we could be joined together to one body. Here it continues, you are also the predestinated seed as it was Christ. Is this not wonderful? Predestinated according to the good pleasure of his will. You were not asked, and I was not asked. God made the decision for us, and we said yes to his decision. We said yes, and then the blessing was granted to us. It continues here. Then happens the same as then, when the Holy Spirit fell on the seed. And this is our desire, that today the same happens as then, that the Spirit falls upon the seed, and so that the church becomes the living organism of the living God. Here on this earth, the manifestation place of our Lord. Once again, Brother Branham emphasizes that he has chosen him before the foundation of the world. Also, they were the predestinated seed. And then he asks, is this right? Of course, this is right. If it would not be so, then it could not have become like this with you and me. We all would have walked on our own ways. We wouldn't have cared about what God has to say now to the church. But because God predestined us, everything is predestination. The Lamb of God was predestinated before the foundation of the world to die for us. Our names were written before the foundation of the world into the Lamb's Book of Life. Forever an absolute, unchangeable. That's how God decided it, and that's how it has become by grace. Here, Brother Branham says also, the seed is the word. It was in them, but it didn't come forth unto life. Suddenly, there came a rushing wind from heaven, and the streams came down. They filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And then the seed began to grow. It began to manifest itself, the Word of God being manifested. It became reality, what God promised in his Word. And this is always the main guideline, that we only have the orientation in the Word of God. Only what God promised in his Word, for this he has taken the responsibility. What people have in their imaginations, with this God has nothing to do. God watches over his Word to fulfill what he promised. And we, who we believe his promises, we are of course not puffed up. We are of course not looking down on others. With us, it is like it was with our Lord. If we look over Jerusalem, or if we look over the church, then the tears begin to flow. Jesus looked over Jerusalem, Luke 19, from verse 41. And he wept. He wept bitterly. Because it was written, "Behold, your king comes to you, riding on a foal of an ass." All the promises were fulfilled. And behold, his people bypassed it. What could he do more? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He preached. He has forgiven sins. He did everything. What could he have done more? Then it was again only a chosen flock which believed him, which followed him, and which had part in that what he did at the time. The same it is today. We could really weep, to be honest. I don't know how I and how we can go on like this without the confirmation of God to experience it, that the attention is being drawn to what God is doing, not what you are doing or me, but that the attention is being drawn to that what God is doing right now. Yesterday, we touched upon it briefly of that speech on the 13th of June, a Wednesday. That speech in the Vatican, it was said that we as Christians are not believing in one God, but in a triune God, in a three-person God. And then it was even said the Jews believe in one God, and the Muslims also. And I had to say it, that the God of Israel is of course called Elohim and not Allah. The word Allah is not written a single time in the Bible, and the word Elohim is not written a single time in the Quran. I read all the 114 surahs. I have four Qurans in my office. And then all the people, let me say it clearly, all the people are fooled. All of the people are kept under the impression these two religions are related to one another. Not at all. The one has nothing to do with the other. And this must be said very clearly. And the God of Israel is, of course, the only true God. And he has become our Father through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, it is written in John, chapter 20, probably verse 19, "I ascend to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father." God established the Father-Son relationship to us in his only begotten Son, to take us into the adoption of sons. God, of course, didn't bring us a religion so that we would be misled. God revealed himself to us, and Jesus Christ is the personal and only revelation of the living God here on this earth. No way leads around our Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And for us, the Holy Scripture is just God's absolute and God's holy word. If now it is being said, God is not one, what shall I then do with the Holy Scripture? If it is written here, shall I change the Scripture? If it is written here in Romans chapter 3, Romans 3, verse 30, seeing it is one God. That's how it is written here. Who has the right on the earth to twist the word and to say something different than what God said? We have the holy duty to believe only God and His word. Also, this was already mentioned. How many meetings are taking place? All the world is full of charismatic. In Sao Paulo, 5,000 people are coming together this morning to celebrate their praise and worship services all over the world. There are thousands upon thousands. The greatest meetings right now are the Pentecostal charismatic meetings. But come to them with the word of God, with the promises of God. They don't even allow you that a word is being preached. They have their program. Everything else would be a disruption for them. Brothers and sisters, thanks be to God that He, by every revival which He gave since the Reformation, time and again, He brought to the established systems, He brought a disruption to them, causing trouble to call out, and then the next revival, and again, also this we have said many times, God works among His people according to His word, up to the full restoration, that the end becomes like the beginning was. Here we have another scripture. We have enough scriptures. But also here, in Galatians, chapter 3, it's again written, Galatians 3, verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. That's how it is written. And in all of the Old Testament, we have about 6,000 times where it speaks of the one God. Brothers and sisters, these things must be emphasized. Also concerning the baptism, with all the errors have to be thrown out. They have no room in the church of Jesus Christ. In the church of the living God, only God has the right. And His word alone counts, and who are ready to hear His word and to believe it and to let themselves be positioned biblically. Yesterday we emphasized it, that a direct call was addressed to Brother Branham. And brothers and sisters, with this, we don't want to impose this, we don't want to impose upon any man. We don't want to do it. But be honest. May we bypass what God promised, what God has done in our time, and what He is still doing. I told it to you. Today, I brought again with me the two magazines. Do you think unbelieving people in the world famous Life magazine would write about the cloud which appeared? Do you think they would publish a report about the cloud which appeared on the 28th of February 1963, when Brother Branham was on the mountain, and when this cloud came down? I don't know exactly, but more than 100 pictures were sent in to Dr. James MacDonald, to the University of Tucson, Arizona. He writes his report in the Science magazine with a cloud on the first page. He writes, unexplainable, 26 kilometers above the Earth, where there is no humidity at all to form a cloud. He describes how it was on its outside and inside and how it looked like. And if I then know, I was just a few days before, I was together with Brother Branham, and he told me I have to move to Arizona. Namely in the January 63. And when I then hear that what was shown to him in that vision, that it became a divine reality. And when this supernatural cloud came down, and he was told, return to Jeffersonville, for the time to open the seven seals has come. Then I, of course, can never bypass this. Then I have to respect this. Look here. Also this, we said here many times, the New Testament starts with the supernatural working of God. Not a priest, not a high priest came to Zacharias into the temple in Jerusalem, but the angel Gabriel, who is in the presence of God, suddenly he stands at the right side of the altar and speaks to Zacharias and announces the birth of John the Baptist, who will go before the Lord. Can I bypass this? When God does something supernatural, does he have to ask you? Does he have to ask me? No, he just does it. But then you and I are asked whether we receive it or whether we laugh about it and say, oh, these are fantasies. No, brothers and sisters, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. God fulfilled his word. He has sent us the promised prophet. And you all know, we don't hang here pictures. We just have it there at the entrance, at the chimney, next to the clock. It would be nice if the clock would be right next to the picture, so that all know how late it is. Not so, but let it be. Here no cult is being made, neither with pictures nor with the prophet. But here the attention is drawn to that of what God actually wanted to achieve, namely to separate, to call out, to cleanse and to sanctify, so that the bright church at the return of Jesus Christ can be transformed into the image of our Lord. And to this, it is necessary that the word is in us and also the Spirit. Now, just a few thoughts about Matthew 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said a few things. Among other things, he spoke about that it is about love, which has to be manifested in our hearts and lives. Here, in Matthew, chapter 5, we read from verse 43, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, here we have an instruction. Also I may not strike out at someone or at all the persecutions, against all the slander which is written in the internet and which are time and again spread all over. No one asked me up to this day to take position. No one came to me personally. Everything was spread as slander into the world. But here it is written, love your enemies. Love your enemies. And then, that ye may be the children of your heavenly Father. If we pray for the persecutors, and this is really our task, I may say it here with a sincere heart. I'm not angry with one single brother who spreads the most terrible slanders. I'm just sorry. Because it is still written, touch not mine anointed one. Men of God who have a divine call are under the special protection of God. And it would be good if we all could understand that, as I said before, that chosen ones can never persecute other chosen ones. This is just impossible. We, as from one tribe, are also fighting as one man, as a German proverb goes. This is also a divine fact for us. We experienced it recently, that the love gets more and more perfect among us, the believers, that God really has His way with all of us. Where did the enmity start? Where did the persecution start? Where did the first murder start? How did everything start? And here we indeed must go back to Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. After the serpent beguiled Eve, and then it says, addressed to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and your seed, and between the woman and her seed. You shall bruise his heel, but he shall bruise your head. The two different seeds are just going back to the Garden of Eden. And we see it later on. The perverse seed hated the good seed. He was asking him, let us go unto the field. And behold, Abel was faithful enough, and he didn't think about it. He didn't know what would happen. He just went with him. He just went with Cain. But Cain already before he was very angry, and his countenance fell. Genesis 4, verse 5. And then came the second act. Genesis 4, verse 8. First, the fallen countenance. Why fallen? Because God accepted the offering of Abel, because God confirmed it. This sacrifice, here blood was shed as a sacrifice. Here a lamb was sacrificed. This I accept. The other one came with the fruits of the field. What does God want with fruits of the field? If the original sin happened in the body of flesh and blood, then blood must come upon the altar of God to announce the redemption. But in the moment when God accepted the sacrifice and when he gave his confirmation, then in Cain came up the envy, the hatred, the jealousy came up in him. And it is written, his countenance fell to the ground. This we don't have to do. Thanks be to God. We don't have to accuse anyone. We don't have to be enemy with anyone. And here's the point. Never. True children of God persecuted others. Always the others persecuted the true children of God. That's how it was throughout all of the Old and New Testament. And that's how it is until today. If we just think about one moment, if these brothers really let them placing themselves under the influence of the evil one and presenting themselves as the accuser, as accusers, then we will not dare. We will not dare to mention one single name or one single negative word about them. We have no need, there's no need for us to do so. Our task is pray for them that persecute you. But here comes a second word to it, namely the word from Matthew chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12, here we read from verse 33, Matthew 12, 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. And then comes a very serious word. Oh, brood of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? And this is the point. If somebody is ruled by the evil one, how can he speak good things? And I'm asking myself, did all these brothers lead one soul to Christ by all their slanders, by all their persecutions? Could they show to one soul the way of salvation? Or did they place themselves into the ministry of the enemy to destroy the impact of the true proclamation? But God sends, of course, always his word, regardless of whom he is using. And therefore, already in all of the Old Testament, the prophets were killed, were persecuted, because they were carriers of the word of God. So, we, in the same way, we are also part of them, and we thank God for it. Now, as we said last night, a true prophet never became later on a false prophet. And a false prophet never became a true prophet. And now it comes. If Paul writes about that false brethren crept in, that's how it is written to the Galatians. And if Paul writes to the Corinthians, if somebody comes along and preaches to you another Jesus, another gospel, having received another spirit, then you bear with him. Here's the point. There are only two fountains, and there are only two different seeds. The one is the divine seed, and Jesus Christ, as Son of God, was the promised seed, and we, as sons and daughters of God, are this seed. It can be read from Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13, verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. What can I change about it? There are these two seeds. And if you would go back to Matthew 5, then the same rain falls on both seeds, on the righteous and on the unrighteous, and the sun shines on the evil and on the good. Not the rain, but the seed it is, what's all about. And therefore, we thank God all our hearts. If I say to you, in all the churches, also within the end time message, of course, singing goes on. We are all singing the same songs. And we are singing the slowest. In no church on the earth, the singing is so slow as with us. Everywhere, the singing is more lively and stronger. But this is not important. It is important whether the proclamation is correct. It is important whether we are the seed of God. It is important to whom we incline our ear. And this is the place in Matthew, chapter 12.
Here,
it says from verse
35,
a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Not what people are saying about you or about me will judge them or you, but that what they have spoken out themselves, that will be their own sentence. And the Holy Scripture says, judge not each other, judge not before the time. We are coming to the point. The ministries which God has placed into the church are never against each other. They are joined with one another, because thus it is written, to the one by the Spirit is given the word of knowledge, to the other the words of wisdom. There are of course the nine gifts of the Spirit, and then the nine ministries, and then the five ministries, according to Ephesians 4. We have all these examples. Here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have the divine order of the ministries in the church. And here it is written. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but one and the same Spirit. And this is time and again emphasized. One and the same Spirit, regardless of the gift, regardless of the ministry, always one and the same Spirit. It continues
in
verse 5. And there are differences of ministries, but one and the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And then it is written of the body of the Lord, into which the gifts and the ministries were laid into. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, and the Holy Spirit leads together, brings together, and then there is divine harmony in the body of the Lord, in the various tasks, and there too it must come now. Also this we have emphasized time and again. If somebody does something on its own, be it what he thinks he has to do in the kingdom of God, and just to mention this, to me the accusation is being made, among other things, that I do not translate life stories into German and this and that. I am not here to translate life stories which others have written, which not Brother Branham has written, and no one wrote it when he was still alive. To this, for this I'm not here. I'm here to bring the life story of the people of God, the word of life, to preach it and bring it to the people of God, and to emphasize what God has done. Life stories. Do I have a life story of John the Baptist? Do I have one of Isaiah? Do I have one of all the prophets and apostles? It is of course not about private things in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, and especially a man of God, is of course not a private person. A man of God has the responsibility to preach the counsel of God to the people of God. And we are continuing with it because of a divine call. And we carry the wonderful word unadulterated unto the ends of the earth. And we wish really all the brothers and all the sisters, we wish them that they get orientation, that they orientate themselves newly in the word of God. Let me to this read you from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. There is a sure foundation laid by God. And Paul could say, I, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation with you. He of course didn't lay the foundation to establish his own church. He laid the foundation which was laid at the beginning. Set forth the biblical teachings as the foundation to the church and left it to us until this day. To this, for this reason happened at the beginning, that we until the end have the divine orientation by the word which was given at the beginning. And thanks be to God, up to this day, nothing changed about it. Everything remains as it was then, so it must and will be today. In 2 Timothy, chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, 2 Timothy 2:11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. So, our Lord, the victor of Calvary, he proved his victory by his resurrection. The resurrection was the proof that death, hell and devil were conquered, that death has lost its power, that the sting of death was pulled out, and that the Lord has given us life by his grace. Now, here is a very important point. Only if we died with Christ, Then the new life by the resurrection power of our Lord can be manifested in us and through us. And brothers and sisters, let us, as Paul has written to the Galatians, let us die with Christ. Our life, our I, really our I. And this is, of course, the greatest obstacle in our lives. Let us give our I into death, letting ourselves be crucified with Christ, who said of himself, "Not my, but thy will be done." This belongs to the co-crucifixion, so that we are crucified with Christ and that we can die with him. This belongs to it, that the own I, the own will, is just given into death, so that the will of God can be manifested through the church, through us, by his grace.
So,
if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. This is the truth, which we not only have to hear, but that we examine ourselves. Have I died with Christ? Is my own I, my own plans, my own endeavors, was everything given into death? It continues in 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him.
Wir müssen standhaft aushalten.
We must persevere. Endure, persevere.
Durch, bis ans Ende.
Until the end.
Bis die letzten Verheißungen
until the last
sich erfüllen.
Promises are fulfilled.
Nach dem Hebräerwort,
according to Hebrews,
eure Freude
cast not away your confidence,
aus,
but persevere as Job persevered. Until he stood up from the ash heap, witnessing the restoration, praying for his friends, and then beholding the glory of God. Then he could say, in the conversation with God, only from hearsay I have known you, but now I have seen you face to face. It is just so wonderful that God has given promises and examples in his word which entitle us to believe that the end belongs to God. The end, the completion, doesn't belong to any prophet, not to any apostle, not to any man of God. The end God reserved for himself. God will do his mighty last work himself. That's how it is written in Romans chapter 9. That's how it is written in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 28. That God will finish his work. His servants are preachers of his will, preachers of his word. But God himself watches over his word to fulfill it. Now the places, coming back to the Garden of Eden, to the two seeds, let us just briefly read 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, so that you know that everything what is being preached in this place, that it is God's holy word, and that we do not add anything to the Holy Scripture and are not taking away something of it. And see here how open and yet how somehow hidden things were written. 1 John chapter 3, here we read from verse 9. Whosoever is begotten or born of God. I've said it to you already. In the Hebrew language and in the Greek, there's one single word for begetting and for giving birth. If the word is referred to the man, then the word in the English language, begotten, is used. If it is referred to the woman, then the same word is translated as giving birth. It's just like that. The old languages were just not so manifold as we have it today. For instance, you know, the Old Testament word Ruach from Genesis 1, the same word is called spirit, is called wind, is called breath and breath of life. Only one word, Ruach, and has four different meanings. The Bible translators had their trouble. They had to decide, where does belong spirit, where does belong wind, where does belong breath? Only one single word. Brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Spirit, who indeed leads us into all truth. And especially if it is about the fall, out of which the enemy doesn't like to be involved, But this fall we don't leave out. We all know by what the sin happened. And we all know by whom the redemption came. By whom the head of the serpent was bruised. We know this. Based upon the word of God. By divine revelation. Because many don't know it. And this shows us that everything is built upon revelation. Let us read from 1 John chapter 3, from verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, begotten of God, both is right. Of our Lord it says, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Because God is the one who begets, the Father, today I have begotten thee. And then, from the bosom of my mother, you have accepted me. Psalm 22. Let us read on here. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Here a very sharp line is being drawn. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Here we have it. No man needs to fool himself. If my and your origin is in God as our Heavenly Father, then we have the nature, then we have the character of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then we are born again unto a living hope by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A very serious language. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. He cannot be of God, because God is love. Or is this not right? Is God love? God is love. And all who are born of God can only love. Even the enemies, they can love. Then it says here, next verse, for this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was a child of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because all his works were evil, and his brothers righteous. This is a summary of the divine order. Whosoever is of God, whoever is born of the Word and Spirit of God, has the nature of Jesus Christ. As he was the seed, so we are the divine seed. Many times we at this place, we are speaking about it, especially Isaiah 53, then especially also Psalm 105 and the various scriptures. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and many shall be justified. He, the seed of God, has given his life for us. And as it was said many times, that we become sons and daughters of God. And that's how it is written. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Brothers and sisters, let us visualize it once again. It is written of the message, for this is the message. Today, much is being spoken of a message. Whose message? It is about the message of God, which was right from the beginning. Let us read once again. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning. Back to the beginning, back to the origin, back to that what God has left unto us as the message, as the proclamation. And then it is emphasized that we should love one another. And then it's emphasized, not the way Cain loved. Perhaps even Cain said, "Oh, Abel, I love you very much. Let us go now quickly unto the field. We can make a nice walk." I don't know the conversation. I don't know it. But here it says that we should not love in the way Cain loved. So love must somehow have been expressed, that we should not love in the way of Cain. It does not say, do not hate in the way of Cain. It is written, do not love in the way of Cain. One must pay attention to every word. One can speak about love and hugging the brother, having the knife in the hand and stabbing him into the back. No, brothers. No, not like this. True love comes from God. And all who are born of God have the true love of God in their hearts. And in another place it says, because we love the brethren, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Brothers and sisters, let us summarize briefly of what it is about today. It is about that we are shown, that the whole world, all the true believers are shown on the earth, that God has an eternal plan of salvation, which was left to us in his word, in all details. And God has given us an insight into this plan of salvation by his grace, so that we can say together with Paul, I have preached unto you the whole counsel of God. So perfect, so in all the details, the whole counsel of God, in all the summary, as it was revealed in our time, as it was being preached, so it was never on earth before. And so we just thank God that we didn't bypass it, but that the word addressed us and we inclined our ear to the voice of God. And since then, we don't give our ear to any strange voice anymore. And this we all know. You all know very well that all Christian churches are referring to the Bible, are referring to God, are referring to Christ, are referring to Peter, are referring to Paul. There's not one single Christian church which would not refer to Christ or to Paul or Peter or certain scriptures. But this is not enough. The scriptures are privately interpreted, and then, as Paul has written, they are twisted for their own destruction. It's always for one's own destruction. One's own interpretation happens for one's own destruction. And therefore, no interpretation is being tolerated, no doctrine which is not taught in the Bible. We accept the ministry of Brother Branham 100%, and we remain with the proclamation as we remain in the limits of the Word of God. No one will be able to take us out of the Word. Now, from Colossians chapter 3, and then we surely have to close. Colossians chapter 3, here we have the admonition right in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This I wish for myself. This I wish all of us. This I wish to the brothers and sisters all over the earth. That no mixing takes place anymore. That the true love of God fills our hearts. That we do not give our ear to anyone who backbites and who slanders. That we don't make us guilty in what Satan wants to cause on damage, but that we take our position in the defending of the Word of God. We are here to preach the Word of God, and we are here to defend the Word of God. That's how Luther said it already on that day, in that declaration in the city of Worms. Sola Scriptura, only the Holy Scripture, only the Word, only grace. And this is our slogan until the end. Now just one word to brothers and sisters who are not yet baptized biblically. Today you have the opportunity to be baptized, biblically, and by this making the covenant of a good conscience with God. Also here, there's a whole Pentecostal denomination called Jesus Only, which believes that the forgiving of sins can only take place by water baptism. This a man has to imagine. And right at the beginning of his ministry, Brother Branham had a conflict with one and with the other one. And the one said, if someone is not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then he didn't receive the forgiveness. Just build upon one misunderstood scripture. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Yes. And upon this they build. The other scriptures are of no interest to such a gentleman. He builds upon one. Just go to all the other scriptures. Go to Acts chapter 10, where Peter was still preaching, and no one was even thinking about baptism, and the Holy Ghost fell, and by faith the hearts were purified of those who heard the word, and who received Jesus Christ, and who were baptized in the Spirit, before they were even baptized in water. But, a denomination, somebody invented it, somebody declared it as a doctrine, has written it in the creed of that certain organization, and then all are taking part in it, and do not care at all about all the other scriptures. Brothers and sisters, it is God's grace, I almost said God's holy grace, that he has acquainted us with his holy word, with his holy will, that we go from scripture to scripture, having received an overall insight and all the illumination of all the Bible subjects, not lopsided, but balanced by the grace of our God. Brothers and sisters, with much reason to thank our God, our Lord, really to thank him for everything, to thank him with all our hearts. And perhaps, just to mention it here, the two wonderful scriptures from Leviticus 23, brothers and sisters, just a few verses, it's written during the feast of the unleavened bread, the sheaf was waved before God. And in the next verses it says, it speaks of the two loaves of bread which were given to God as a meal offering. First, the wheat on the field, then the sheaf in the hand, and then grinded as bread on the table. Brothers and sisters, the church of the living God must so deeply be joined and melted together as the wheat. First the wheat on the large field, then the sheaves which are brought in, waving them before the Lord, consecrated to God. And then the meal offering with the two wave loaves. And this were also joined together. And we as the church are scattered into many countries, in many languages. The Lord sent, gathered. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy, returning fully loaded with sheaves. And then comes the melting together. Then comes the unity in the Spirit. First on the field, then as the sheaf, and then as a loaf of bread. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we being many are one bread. Oh, how wonderful is this holy word of God. Love the word with all your heart. Receive it. And it will be revealed to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Perhaps we sing a chorus, who says one, which we can sing.
Oh, es ist Jesus, oh, es ist Jesus. Oh, es ist Jesus, oh, es ist Jesus. Oh, es ist Jesus, nur allein. Ich hab berührt den Saum seines Kleides und sein Blut, es wusch mich rein. Ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn. Ich lieb ihn, das teure Gottes Plan, das mich geliebt und für mich starb am Kreuzes stand. damit wir alle auch ein bisschen Englisch lernen, singen wir es auch
so that we learn a bit English, let us sing in English.
I love him, I love him, because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Während wir die Häupter zum Gebet,
as we are bowing our heads for prayer, as we are opening our hearts, I just would like to give a call. I would like to call the youth, to call them who did not yet consecrate their lives to the Lord. I don't know whether a second or better opportunity will come. Time and again we say it. Today, if you hear his voice, I think here on all our brothers and sisters from Romania, from the neighboring countries, from our country, from everywhere. The teenagers are growing up. The parents had their experience with the Lord. And the young people, they still need it. Each one must make his own experience of conversion, of the new birth. If some wish to come to the front, that we briefly pray for you, dedicating to you to God, feel free. We sing firstly the first stanza, just as I am. Come now, come to the front.
So wie ich bin, so muss es sein. Nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein. Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gott. Es lang, ich komm. Ja, wir müssen es noch einmal singen.
We must sing it once again.
Ich bin so groß, es sei nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein, dein Blut wäscht mich. Von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm. Wir haben es gestern in der ersten Versammlung gelesen.
We have read it last night from Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will quicken you. It is written, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Look here to the front. Look here now. Dear brother, did you dedicate your life to God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for you on the cross of Calvary, that he carried your sin and guilt, and that he has given you forgiveness? Do you receive him? Do you accept him? Thank you. Young brother, how old are you? 14. Very nice. Did you dedicate your life to the Savior? Did you receive the Savior as your personal Redeemer? You believe that he died for you, that he has given his life for you, and so that you get saved, and you believe that he has done it? You receive it? Thank you. Dear sister, you also. You believe also with all your heart in Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, precious brother, also you. You believe? Do you speak German? Yes, you believe with all your heart in your Savior, Jesus Christ. You received and accepted Him, beloved brother, you also. You believe with all your heart. You received and accepted the Savior. Precious sister, you also. You received the Savior. Precious sister, you also. You know that the Lord accepted you, has forgiven everything, had made all the damage well. You have become His possession for time and eternity. Also you, precious sister, you received the Savior as your personal Redeemer. You believe that He has forgiven you all your sins, and that He accepted you. Thank you. God bless you. Precious sister, you also. You also dedicated your life to the Lord. You received Him as Savior, as Redeemer. And you believe that you have become His possession. Thank you. Did you translate it to the sisters? And you also? You dedicated your life to the Lord. God bless you. Now just a question. Will you all live a life consecrated to the Lord? Will you walk in the ways of God in obedience of faith? Do you take the word of God as a lamp unto your feet with you along the way? Will you not open yourself to any other influence, but will you remain under the influence of the word of God until we all come from believing unto seeing? Did you all say yes? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we dedicate to you all who have come to the front. They didn't come to a man, but they came to you, O Lord. Receive them. You received them, yes, because thus it is written, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You are receiving all. You are accepting all. You are giving peace and forgiveness, grace and salvation. And so we dedicate you, all our young brothers and sisters, for your honor, as the reward of your pain. Precious Lord, Calvary was worthwhile. The price is paid. And we thank you for the power of your resurrection, which is manifested. Dear Lord, accompany our precious brothers and sisters with your grace, with your blessing, and be with them, and be with all of us. Ever faithful God, we pray now for the whole church worldwide, for all who are living in the dispersion in the various countries and languages, who are hearing your word. Bring us all into unity of the faith and of the knowledge in the love of God, in the word of God, sanctified in the word of truth, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sealed with the Holy Spirit, after we received and believed the word of truth. Precious Lord and Savior, together we thank Thee for the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. May you start the triumphal victory procession with your church. At the beginning, you have won the victory. And at the end, you will have the victory. Because to you is given all power in heaven and on earth. We thank you that you make all enemies your footstool, and are giving the full victory to your people. Precious Lord, you also know all the needs, all the private petitions pertaining to the heart and to the life. Great God, we pray you, do good to all according to your great mercy and loving kindness. And I pray you, ever faithful God, may no one go from here empty, but may all be filled with your word and your grace and your love, with everything what you have given us at this weekend. Oh my God, to you be the honor, to you be the praise, now and forever.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wir singen noch, drum jauchzt mein Herz, dir große Herrscher zu. Drum jauchzt mein Herz, dir große Herrscher zu. Wie groß bist du, wie groß bist du. Drum jauchzt mein Herz, dir großer Herrscher zu. Wie groß bist du, wie groß bist du. Und noch bald, ja bald, oh wie schön. Bald, ja bald, oh wie schön, werden wir auch dort jubelnd eingehen. Bald, ja bald, oh wie schön, werden wir auf dort Jugend eingehen. Amen, amen.